Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
1 o'clock on a Monday, Victory Monday in KC, of course. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapter, Nixon with you. Chiefs get to 6-5. Season is still very much alive. Yeah. Cowboys coming up on Thursday. Of course, that game right here on 96.5, The Fan. Hope everybody's traveling safe. A lot of you may be already getting out of town today for the holiday. Maybe you're driving somewhere. I'm sure the airport's going to be a zoo. People getting out of town, flying out of town this week as well. So safe travels and happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. I feel like the one thing that I do miss from like our like childhoods in particular of this time of year and the holidays, I did love on Thursday morning, my dad would get the paper and then there would just be, you know, 30 freaking ads and you'd flip through and you get all excited. And we don't get that anymore. Like now, like one, everybody does the early Black Friday sales, but you can hop on, you know, Amazon or wherever and already start shopping, or yeah, Cyber Monday, all that stuff exists still. But I do miss the pre really true internet shopping where you were able to just, you had to go at midnight and there was some excitement about getting up at 4 a.m. and maybe going and waiting in line. I know like it's way more convenient now, but I don't know about you. Like I enjoyed when the Best Buy ad would come and the Target ad or the Kohl's ad or wherever you shopped, Hastings back in the day as well. And you're like, man, you can't wait to find out what special deal before you knew what the Black Friday deals were.
So I liked looking through the ads, but we never did Black Friday shopping as a unit.
Okay. All right.
It might be because like we did the Plaza lighting every year when I was a kid. So Black Friday wasn't anything for us. And then I think as I became like an early adult, I was working that day a lot. It felt like, I don't know. And so that one's not as much. I do miss, we went to the Plaza lighting ceremony every year I was a kid.
Every year?
Every year for 10, I've gone 15
maybe three or four years. I've gone maybe
stopped doing it.
Three or four times to the actual lighting. And then now what'll happen is at some point between now and the end of the year, I'll make sure I go have dinner down there because I want to see it. Drew, have you seen the Plaza? You maybe haven't gotten to the lighting. You've seen them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The Plaza lighting ceremony. If you've never gone once, I think it's a cool thing to go to.
Dude, we go down there and hit up Mr. Bulkey's. Made a whole evening of it, you know? They keep the little mall area open.
Mr. Bulkey's, man.
That was right there, right at the corner of Seville.
Mr. Bulkey's. And that was great. I love that place.
Living your best kid life, you know?
Yeah.
On the other end, the Chiefs, you had mentioned their season staying alive. It felt like we were dangerously close to having a funeral for the team this Monday morning. And thankfully, we didn't have to and instead can talk about the win. I simultaneously hate and love their offense. And I know that it doesn't make sense that it can be both. But genuinely, they seem so flawed in red zone and in mistakes and some of the things that really bother me. And yet you and I both know they could move the ball and have weapons and are capable. It just feels like they constantly are trying to do it with one arm tied behind their back, or like everyone's in a potato sack race and it's three legs instead of four. I can't explain it because I know they have talent and can move the ball. But this offense, it's like I can't decide if I think they're good or bad. But I'll tell you right now, they're not mediocre. It's not a mediocre offense, which is where they're landing. They're either really good at it or they're really bad in a game. In this game in particular, it felt like they moved the ball, they scored a bunch, all that stuff. Just can't get in the red zone. So maybe it's just the red zone I hate.
Yeah, the red zone certainly yesterday in particular was a huge, huge issue. First and goal at the two. They end up right at the end of the game. They settle for the field goal, causes it to go to overtime instead of just winning it right then and there. Because I actually thought they managed the clock perfectly before the end of the fourth quarter with that drive. I thought that was, much as we have been critical about clock management, I thought the way that played out with the Colts having to use all their timeouts and then you get first and goal at the two, it was perfection until they didn't execute and actually punch it in the end zone. And that's why they had to go to had to go to overtime. But yeah, this offense yesterday in particular against the Colts, I mean, there are some pretty jarring numbers in a positive way. 240 more yards than the Colts and 33 first downs compared to 10 that the Colts had in the game. Some of that's also a defensive stat in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. But
33 first downs is an incredible number.
Two for two on fourth down. The Colts punted six times. You only punt three times. Like it on one hand, yeah, it could have been somewhat of a dominating performance, and yet so much of it is in the biggest moments. They still yesterday, even in a win, came up empty. Like a win is a win, and when they had to have drives in the final two drives really of the game, Mahomes and the Chiefs got it together. Rice came up with two of the biggest catches of the year. Xavier Worthy had one of the biggest catches he's had in his Chiefs career, I would actually say, right? Just considering what was at stake with that big third down conversion in overtime. So it's still not all clicking. It seems like it's close. We've said that a few times throughout the year. I mean, I thought Patrick Mahomes, there were spots where guys were open and he missed and was hesitant. There were also spots where the Colts defensively, give Lou Anarumo credit, the Chiefs could not win in one-on-one. Both were true yesterday. So it continues to be never one clear thing that's the problem. Mahomes is not right at times. The receivers aren't right in others. The run game or lack of run game is an issue at times. Then other times it's not. It still is this very confusing team to watch, but it's still why you can't quit them. And it's why teams still, they don't fear them anymore, but certainly teams know that, like the Cowboys know the Chiefs are more than capable still of going in there and putting up 30 and winning on Thursday.
They're not
right?
doing it with any kind of consistency. And like, look, the text line saying, hey, look, they're close to being there. The back shoulder to Rice is completed more than it's missed. Then multiple people saying what we know. Their problems do seemingly start with the RPO game in the sense that of all the things that are predictable in their offense, number one is how they handle the RPO game. And that's why they went away from it for a portion of the game.
That's why they were under center more than any other time this year.
Yeah, all those things go in there. And look, you probably wouldn't be surprised because this is the kind of season it's been. Even after yesterday's debacle in the red zone, they are still, because they had four field goals that they made inside of under 30 yards, which means they just continuously stalled out in the red zone over and over and over again. They are still the 14th best touchdown scoring percentage team in the NFL in the red zone. So they're not even like a disaster there. I think is what it is I honestly think what the missing element of their offense is what I saw yesterday for the first time, maybe all year, other than maybe for a portion of the game against Washington. When they got Rashee Rice going, ooh, those last couple of drives, when they're hitting him 15, 20 yards, then it's all going. It's all working. Then Noah Gray's getting open. Kelsey's getting open. Running game's working. When he's kind of humming along, the offense feels like it's got
scary play for Noah Gray, by the way, that knocked him out of the game. And somehow he caught that ball with his thigh. I mean, that was an
elbow. That was
a huge catch. I know it wasn't for the first down, but it set up a short fourth down opportunity for them. That was a massive play. I hope he's all right. Obviously, he was clearly out of it. He was in concussion protocol. No idea what that means for the Texans game. There's no way he's going to be without a concussion protocol, Cody, by Thursday. I don't even think it's possible. So, right?
No.
I don't think it's possible.
No, there's not enough days.
So he's automatically out the Cowboys game, I think, if we play that right. I think what you said, though, about Rice. So in the first half, he has three catches for 9 yards. Then in the second half, he blows up, has a massive performance, ends up with a .141 or whatever. And him and Worthy late in the fourth and overtime, it was and I don't know if the Colts were playing differently, if the Chiefs just got the scheme right and maybe the guys were just winning. Intermediate crossing routes. That's been missing all year. Intermediate crossing routes. And it was something that they had success with late. That is what I think makes when you think the offense is actually like, man, it's awesome. 10, 15 yards after the catch, it's on the crossing routes. I mean, Rashee Rice, the number he had was 141. 108 of them, Cody, were after the catch. Yak guy. We know this.
Yeah, but
108 yards after the catch.
I swear to you, I said this last week. So
yeah, it wasn't the short pass around the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Yak wins it 8 to 10 yards when he first catches the damn ball. That's the difference. And look, I see the text line. There's always going to be complaints. Someone says 7 of 16 on third down is still pretty bad. If they can get to 55 to 60.
Yeah, they're not perfect. 60,
but here's the other part. Yeah, I'm going to point out this stat because this is the thing where unreasonable expectation versus reasonable and what we need to expect. 55% this year, the current leader in third down conversion in the NFL is at 48%. Last year is 51%. The year before that, 49%. 55% is excellent. 7-16 on third down is excellent.
Even
by 50% NFL
is mm-hmm. they would lead the league. If they had 49%, they would lead the league. And by the
way,
I think
they would lead for the last 5 years if they had 50% completion on third
down. So I went and I did some more numbers on it. Right now, they're 10th. They're top 10 in the league. I think they converted a 41% clip. 43% is what they did on Sunday. So that was better than average for this Chiefs team. So it felt – it also – one of the things, too, that I didn't understand, it kind of bothered me, too, I was watching it, is they would have 2nd and 10, and then they'd run the ball and get the 3rd and 8. It was the most frustrating thing ever, where it made no sense. Now, thankfully, the Noah Gray catch on top of, there was another one where it was like 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 9, and they actually, I think, got the 3rd down conversion. But they got to get rid of the whole 2nd and 10 run play thing. Has got to go.
That went away, and then people thought they were passing too much. It's a tough double edged sword. It really is, because I hate 2nd and 10 runs too. I'm not even disagreeing, but it does feel like that's when people, Drew, were complaining that they don't run enough. You know, so like, what do you do? Run, be better on 1st down is the answer.
Well, yeah, like, of course.
Stop getting yourself in 2nd and 10, and then you could actually have a decision, I guess, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I think it was Sam McDowell from The Star who sent out a tweet, though. Like, when you're in some of those scenarios, you're eliminating, let me see if I can find his exact tweet, but essentially you're taking away like half your playbook, though, when you start to do the scenario we were just brought up. Let me see if I can find the exact scenario. That he was talking about. But basically, you know, if what Drew was suggesting there and stuff, if you are going to say that you're going to run in that spot, you're really starting to limit, you know, what you're able to do offensively. So by running on 1st down, then, you know, even in right before halftime, you know, you run on 1st down and you burn your only time out. As he said, the Chiefs have cut their playbook in half for 2nd and 3rd down. You know, that's the before half stuff that they end up settling for a field goal against Buffalo. They settle for the field goal against Indy right before halftime. And so in that circumstance I think it was 1st and goal again.
Yeah.
If you run on 1st in that spot and then you burn a timeout, then you really are limiting what you can do on that 2nd and 3rd down.
Yeah. And this goes back to, and some of their problems offensively are Juwan Taylor gets 17 penalties a game. Like, that went away for like 3 weeks. And then yesterday, even though I think it's a soft call, and there were plenty of them in the game for both sides, this isn't about one way or the other. They made a lot of bad calls in the game, or calls that at least are fringe enough that I'd rather you just keep the flag in your pocket. But that one, it's like, well, they score 7 more points. Like, it's so much. It's like they score 4 more points there. They make 2 less penalty. They score on they're on the 2-yard line, and they get the touchdown there. Well, then the Chiefs score 30 points, and we're not talking about this up and down nature of their offense. And instead, we say they had 500 total yards and 33 first downs and 30 points, and the whole game feels different. But that speaks to their offense. There's just this little bit that has not been right about it all year. But it was enough this time, because the defense had to keep giving them chance after chance after chance, admittedly. But given enough opportunities, they at least do that. And now we get to the Cowboys, who now we think will be without Tyler Guyton, their starting left tackle, although we think the Chiefs will be without starting right guard Trey Smith, so those two guys are gone. Look, the thing about Dallas, and the thing I realized about them is they don't really have a lot of bad losses, so they're going to be a fight. They have what I would consider one bad loss. That is at home to the Arizona Cardinals.
That was on primetime. I remember watching that.
Yeah, no real excuse on that one. That's a terrible loss. You can't lose those much if you're going to be a playoff team. All their other losses are what I would call beyond reasonable. On the road to Philadelphia, a game that they should have won. On the road to the Bears, they're 8-3. They have a tie against the Packers. We can just leave that one aside for a minute since I was mentioning losses.
Okay.
On the road to the Panthers, maybe that's a fringe one, but I mean, that's a team that
they look better they're a 6-win team right now.
They win tonight, they'll be leading their
division.
They got
the same record as the Chiefs, let's be honest, right the second.
And then at the Denver Broncos. So like, when you start looking at their losses, they're a lot like the Chiefs in that way. They are good against typically good teams, or at least they lose to good teams, but they beat all the other teams they mostly should.
I think it's hard not to be more concerned about the Cowboys after what we saw yesterday. I mean, how can you not? You're down 21-0. You come back from down 21 against the Eagles. That's really, really impressive. They're also just defensively a different team the last 2 weeks or so. And the question is that who they are now, or is it a nice little 2-week run?
And who's the team they played 2 weeks ago? Raiders?
I honestly do not know. I'll have to look it up.
Was it the Raiders? I think it might be the Raiders.
I think they killed the Raiders. Yes, that is correct.
Hard one to take serious, but the Eagles.
It was.
Matters.
You're right. That was Monday Night Football or whatever it was last week. Quinnen Williams is the difference for them right now on defense.
Yeah.
Quinnen Williams, they acquired him in the Jets trade, defensive lineman. He has been statistically, this is according to Next Gen Stats. So not only did he have a career high 8 pressures yesterday on 30 rushes, which is a 26% clip, which is insane. he has more quarterback pressures than any other defensive tackle in football since joining the Cowboys. So the last 2 weeks, it's a small sample size. But the second lowest average time to pressure, he's been as dominant as any defensive tackle since he joined the Cowboys. That's a little scary, considering what the Chiefs' injury is going to be at right guard, it looks like, heading into the game. Yeah. And just the history of you know, protection with the offensive line. So that's going to be the player to watch on the defensive line for them. Their secondary doesn't really scare you, though. I'll say that about the Cowboys.
You can still pass on
but
them.
Can you give Mahomes time? And are you able to run on them? And
they're 22nd in the NFL in rushing yards allowed per game, but that's obviously pre-Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Is this what the Cowboys' defense is going to be the rest of the way now? And if it is, then the Cowboys are going to win a lot of games in their final six.
I think the scariest part about the Cowboys is fairly obvious. They're very difficult to guard. Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, and Jake Ferguson is a tough ask for any team. Yeah. Now, that's it. That's just a tough ask.
The Eagles in the second half, what changed for them? They lost some guys in the secondary. So, you know, how much of that changed the entire game for the Cowboys offense? The Eagles did a great job in the first half. Then they dealt with injuries and then it opened up. So what are the Chiefs able to do with a healthy secondary the Chiefs are going to have? Nobody's hurt in the secondary. So a healthy secondary, a defensive line that, you know, is coming off a game in which Chris Jones, while the box score will say he didn't do anything, that's incorrect. Chris Jones was dominant at times, opened things up for others in that game. He's playing at an energy level and effort level at the best we've seen all year the last 2 weeks. So what gives that? I think, yes, the Broncos were one thing when they were, and the Colts were one thing when they were a little more, I think, one-dimensional, not as fearful of their weapons outside of the running backs. And I understand the Chiefs lost the game to the Broncos, but still, that wide receiver room was not one that you feared. This one, Pickens and Lamb and Ferguson, you pay more attention. They're just more balanced. And so I don't think Spags can go in to Thursday and say, we're just shutting down Jonathan Taylor. Make Daniel Jones beat us. I don't think you can pick a side defensively against the Cowboys offense. Like the Cowboys are too balanced.
Yeah,
they're too balanced.
And the bigger fear is that at least if you were a team that the Chiefs just don't take it away, right? I can't just be my eye test, right? It doesn't feel like they ever get any takeaways.
The Chiefs defense? No, they struggle in that area.
They're
not great at getting the ball from their
opponent. The ball skills, at least.
They're probably
in
the bottom half, I bet.
I'd guess turnovers created. Five, if I had to guess.
Because turnover margin, I still think, I think they're
fifth worst.
I think they're okay.
0.8 turnovers per game. Denver, who also doesn't take the ball away, I guess. The Giants, the Commanders, and the Jets are the bottom five. Honestly, they're keeping pretty poor company other than Denver.
Did you say that the Cowboys are basically in the same boat, though?
Cowboys are basically in the same boat. They also do not take the ball away. They're 23rd in the NFL, 0.9 versus 0.8. Number one team in the NFL, you always want to know. Every year there's a team like this. It was Minnesota 2 years ago or last year, which is, who's the team who took the ball away the most? They always have a good record, and they always have a better record than you feel like they should. Chicago Bears. It's always, who's the best team at getting the ball?
That's their whole defense this year in Chicago. Their defense as a whole is not impressive, but they turn people over consistently.
Mm-hmm. And it usually doesn't happen as much in the postseason. Turnovers are harder to come by, and then you lose in the first round and everything else. The Rams are number two, by the way, a team that is an absolute force.
Verse in that defense.
I'll tell you what, I'm pretty glad that the Rams are not on the Chiefs schedule, because that team looks like it would whip up on just about anybody right now.
Yeah.
That'd be the one matchup. Let's just say the Chiefs get hot, win the rest of their games, and on the way to the Super Bowl. That'd probably be the only one I wouldn't pick them to win right now. Things can change, and all that stuff would change. But
The Rams, if the Super Bowl was this weekend, I don't know anybody that's picking against them. But the Super Bowl is not this weekend. But if it was, the Rams would be a team. I don't know anybody that would really be picking against them. I mean, how could you? You know, have they peaked early? I don't know. But they look like the team to beat.
Stafford's on a heater. Is he already locked up the MVP, or do we think there's still a little more life left in it?
I mean, I think Stafford wins. I think it's probably premature to say it's like definitively over, but if
him
I would
Drake
be shocked.
May, maybe?
It's only between those two now.
He's like -200, -300?
Drake May would have to
Stafford, a better game than he did yesterday, for
yes,
sure.
Yeah. Drake May would have to just light it all up the next couple weeks. And he only has one marquee game left, I would think, on his schedule, and that's the Bills. So he doesn't have the same prime stage, whereas like the Rams have the 49ers, I think, one more time, don't they? And do they have the Seahawks one more time too? Like, I just think there's bigger games whereas Stafford's going to be on a bigger stage. And right now he's playing, looks like, perfect football. It's crazy.
I know.
Go ahead.
I know that Logan and I are going to get more into the Cowboys game and stuff, but does this game feel like it's a whoever has the ball last sort of game? I think it could go that way, and I don't know if it'll be high scoring or lower scoring, but it feels like whoever has the ball last is the one who's going to probably come away with it from offense.
Basically been the last two Chiefs games. Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs had the ball last in Indy against Indy won, and they didn't against Broncos. Now the Chiefs had opportunities to win it without, but yeah, I mean, that is kind of where it's the whole one score game stat thing. I mean, the Chiefs have had 6 1 score games this year and they're 1-5 in them.
I still think it could be just like a false flag on the Dallas defense though. I don't think Quinnen Williams, like no one player in the NFL takes you from second worst point per game defense in the NFL to we're a top five defense all of a sudden. I don't respect the Eagles offense. I don't think any of us do. And the Raiders throw that one into a fire. That's been the biggest difference between these two teams. The Chiefs currently have the fourth best points per game off or defense in the league. Mm-hmm. Dallas is second to last only to Cincinnati, who's been the worst all year. And so like I just have a hard time imagining that Dallas is all fixed. And some of it isn't just, they found a way to stop Saquon, which shut everything down, and kudos to them. They had a great game. The Raiders, it's like a one-game sample size for me on their defense. I just don't feel like I'm ready to crown them as, maybe they're not second worst in the league, but they still got to be like bottom half, I guess. I don't think one player changes it.
You guys need to stop talking good about Chris Jones.
Why? He's been very good.
Someone texted in. I don't know.
He was really good in that game.
A paragraph.
Yesterday.
Yeah, it's when you if you send in 6 texts, then it usually is a little too long for us to read. Thank you though.
But yes, Cody, you could tell because he was getting off against a good offensive line. I would say I don't know where they rank, but
yeah,
the Colts are a solid offensive line given obviously how well Jonathan Taylor has run the football. Chris Jones was winning right out of the gate and forcing Daniel Jones to have to evade or forcing him to make bad throws or whatever the case was. He was doing a lot more than what you traditionally see on a box score.
So
obviously.
Like it's tough when you're a pass rush defensive tackle, because sometimes you just don't have the sacks to eat it up. I'm just saying the effort was way better. He impacted way more plays.
He was pumping up the crowd. Oh yeah.
If your takeaway from yesterday is that he didn't play good, I'm sorry. Like I don't know how else to say. I mean, I can put it nicely, I guess, but like I don't think you know what the hell you're talking about. Like, nobody's saying he's had an all pro season. He hasn't, by no means. He would tell you that. And he was not good in the first 8 games of the season. He was not having the impact. But the last 2 games, despite not having 5 sacks or something, he's not Miles Garrett. All right. He has been playing some very good football. And if the one tackle and no sacks is all you're looking for, then yeah, you're going to be very disappointed, I guess. I think there's more to the story. Someone said, you know, the pressures don't matter. I would argue pressures could actually lead to turnovers. That's why the Chiefs haven't. That's what's weird. Like, you always want sacks. They can end drives. There's also still the benefit of when you pressure a quarterback,
it might make a mistake.
He might actually throw a ball he shouldn't throw, and it leads to a turnover. So to act like pressures don't count, I think it's just a wrong way to approach how we judge football. But
we've only got about a half hour left before we get on the holiday. Big news for me. My youngest son requested to watch this show. Do you think that this show is appropriate for a 7-year-old? Do you think, Desmond,
maybe,
who's watching the show on YouTube. He thinks I'm a YouTuber because I'm on YouTube sometimes. I guess technically we qualify in that regard. But today
we talked about the coffin where the person thought they were dead and they weren't. That's, we've had trash of days where it's more sexual and other things. So I think this was a good day for him to watch.
We're square, Desmond. Enjoy the show, man. Glad you're watching on YouTube. I don't know if we're the number one rated show on YouTube for 7-year-olds. That seems unlikely.
Not really our demographic we're going
probably
after.
Probably something more Italian brain rot or one of the many other things that are available on the, you know. But now you know all the slang, so you can speak to them, you know?
That's true.
We learned all those things. You can slowly speak their language, you know?
Someone says, absolutely not. This is an adult, mature adult show that we do here. That's true. The kids are off of school this week, aren't they? So the whole week. So
yeah, they, you know, unlike when we were kids.
Someone says too many Drew Blue Chew ads, though.
Well, hang on a second. There hasn't been one today.
I think they're just referencing in general. Yeah,
they're just speaking about our audience. You know?
Oh, so they're anticipating their kids asking about that. I guess
someone says don't bring up the gum bucket.
No, 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 yeah. no. Or Tennessee.
Careful.
Yeah.
We're keeping things above
luckily
board.
Luckily, the Chiefs are not playing the Tennessee Titans this week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not for a couple more weeks. Because that clip's going to get some run that week, I think.
Yeah.
Do you think Desmond is listening to the show?
He said he wanted to watch it on YouTube. He asked if he could watch the show on YouTube today. So I think he's actively watching right now.
Yeah.
He could be catching all good. Of those.
That's good. Up next, let's get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold. I want to obviously get there. And because we are obviously on a weird schedule this week, I do want to talk about some of the results elsewhere in the AFC just a bit, including a Jags game where I thought the Chiefs were about to get a break. Did not happen. We'll do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money. What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Of course, number one, the Chiefs get the win. 6-5 on the year. 23-20 victory in overtime against the Indianapolis Colts. Now, a quick turnaround. Thanksgiving afternoon football in Dallas against the Cowboys. Cowboys riding high as well. Feeling good about their 21-point comeback win. Actually, 24, but needed to come back from 21. End up winning 24-21. Injury front, this one is going to be one to watch on game day, unfortunately. That is that Trey Smith. According to Ian Rappaport, is unlikely to play, expected to miss maybe multiple games with a high and low ankle sprain. You're going up against that defensive front without Trey Smith. That worries me a bit. On the flip side, Tyler Guyton, one of the better left tackles in football this year, he's also expected to not be available. So you lose Trey, they lose Guyton, both teams with some offensive line issues heading into Thursday's game.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't feel like, it's more than one problem, certainly. Yeah. For both teams, we'll see whether that happens. Short rest, obviously, in the football round. No Andy Reid today. He'll actually talk tomorrow, kind of like it's a short week. Next up on What's Trending, Chip Kelly is officially out for the Raiders as their offensive coordinator. Greg Olson, no, not that one, will be their offensive coordinator once again. He's helped out there before. Bowen is also out as the DC for the Giants. And, a little more NFL news, Shedeur Sanders will be the starter next week against the 49ers for the Cleveland Browns. Even though Dylan Gabriel has cleared concussion protocol, they'll go with Shedeur as their starter next week.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, local college football, it was not a good weekend for any of them. Kansas State lost a heartbreaker to Utah. They were in a position to win that football game, 51-47 loss. They need to win against Colorado to get to bowl eligibility. The Missouri Tigers had Bo Crabula back. You thought maybe here was an opportunity to upset Oklahoma. They just had no offense. Missouri Tigers only put up 6 points in a loss to OU. Kansas did not look good at all on the road against Iowa State. They play, the Jayhawks do, on Friday, Black Friday in Lawrence, the home finale, season finale, I should say. And they got to beat Utah if they want to get to 6 wins and bowl eligibility. The Hawks are 13.5-point home underdogs. Good luck.
Final game for Jalen Daniels as well.
It is. It is senior day. Depending on the weather, I might go. I don't know. It's Black Friday, 11 a.m.
You're supposed to celebrate people on senior day. You look like you're ready to run them out of the building.
In fairness, maybe it's because they weren't good enough. Uh-huh. Everybody wasted all of those how long Perry Ellis has been in college jokes and should have saved him for Jalen Daniels, who's actually been in college for what seems like a decade.
Sixth year, I believe.
I hope he gets a win. I hope that they get to bowl eligibility. It's been a bad year.
He helped build the program back up, but I think people are also ready to see what the future holds with another quarterback, whether it's a guy on the roster right now in Marshall or it's somebody else in the transfer portal.
Lastly, on What's Trending, coming up in an hour, Kansas is actually in action today for basketball. They're taking on Notre Dame. No Darren Peterson. He obviously didn't travel for this tournament. I think people are kind of hoping he'll be back in early December. Maybe that UConn game at Allen Fieldhouse. Early December, been slow walking with him, but he will not be there for the Notre Dame game. They are also first time that they are not ranked in the AP top 25 since 2005. This early in the season is in November. They UAP pull out. They were not ranked.
Yeah, a couple losses. They've already played North Carolina and Duke, and they obviously lost both of those. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Someone was saying, Black Friday, Senior Day game seems bad. Yeah, it's not.
11 a.m. too.
I know.
I
thought about going. We'll see. Depends on the weather. It's one of those where otherwise I'm just going to sit around and watch other. Then the NFL game is not till what, 3?
There's some good college games on Friday.
That's the only thing. Would I rather sit and watch a bunch of college games and frankly watch KU unlikely to win? I mean, they're 13.5.
Well, unfortunately, the good ones are right when the NFL games start. Georgia Tech is at 2:30, and then at 6:30 is Texas.
NFL games, big time, man. Eagles and Bears. Eagles coming off a loss. Bears at 8 wins on the season right now, or 8? Are they 8-3 or 9-3?
8-3. They're both 8-3.
So it's a massive game for seeding in the NFC playoff picture. That could be the tiebreaker difference for one of these teams getting, the second seed, because it looks like the Rams might end up getting the number one seed. We'll see.
Certainly feeling that.
What do you make of the rest of the NFL? I know we obviously talked a ton of focus on the Chiefs,
the
Colts,
Cardinals.
But we were all keeping on that Jags Cardinals game. Goes to overtime. Trevor Lawrence had 4 turnovers and they still won. If you were hoping, knowing the Jags schedule, for them to slip up, this would have been the spot where the old Jags would have. And man, oh man, they tried. Trevor Lawrence tried 4 turnovers in the game.
And he's awful.
He was not good. Yeah, he was not good. He's been this way all year, except against Kansas City.
Yeah, he was great against them.
Of course. Figures.
That was a huge swing game for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's going to be. I mean, look, the Chiefs have to handle their business anyway.
Yeah.
But there is a real chance that that is the game that ultimately prevents the Chiefs from making the playoffs. But if the Chiefs, I'm still convinced, if the Chiefs win, 5 of their final 6, I still think they find a way in. But yeah. Arizona with Jacoby Brissett gave their best effort to try to knock off the Jags, and boy, that would have helped.
A lot of this is just now it's about which game each week I'm rooting for, because Kansas City can't just get there on their own. They're going to need assistance from other teams. So next week is Colts Texans. Go Colts. They're winning their division, or they're going to the playoffs. I don't think they're falling out of it. I need the Texans out of the way before they take on the Chiefs, and they can bury them. Then there'd only be three or four weeks left and have the head-to-head. Jaguars-Titans next week. Obviously, I know I need the Titans to win.
Go Cam Ward,
Chargers,
upset city.
Chargers-Raiders. Come on, Raiders. Yeah. We're banking on either long shots next week. I don't think this is going to start shaking out for Kansas City.
Gotta wait a couple weeks.
Until we wait a couple of weeks when they're actually facing real opponents. Because I just told you the ones next week, nothing of real note, right? Then you get Colts-Jags playing each other again. Again, go Colts. Right? I'm not rooting for the Jags at that point. Unless they're going to win the division, the Colts are going to lose 4 out of the next 6, I don't think is going to take
And that's
place,
the thing. So. If you could guarantee me that the Jags end up just winning the division, well then, yeah, hope the Colts keep losing because you have the tiebreaker. But I'm not convinced that's going to happen, because that's the thing, right?
Colts have a very difficult schedule, but they're not going to lose enough.
If the Jags won the division, then the tiebreaker doesn't even matter, and then you have the head-to-head against the Colts. That would be the only argument, but you have to, at that point, you're really thin in a...
Colts have to lose 2 more games and you lose the rest of the way, which is tough.
That's a really narrow window to get into, where you're asking the Jags to win the division and then the Colts to lose just enough games to then also be the tiebreaker instead, but you have the edge over them. That you're asking for a lot of moving pieces at that part, at that point. So I would rather the Colts just go win the damn division and knock down the Jags a game or two or both. Like you said, they play them twice, right? So.
Yep. So here's the thing. I guess this is what it comes down to. If I asked you right now, which teams do you think it's actually realistic that the Chiefs can steal a playoff spot from? We know where everything is. Do you think Denver is an answer? I don't. Do you think the Colts are an answer? I don't. I think there's 2. I think there are 2 teams, unless for some reason, and I'll mention the third, there are 2 that I think they can actually take the playoff spot. One is the Jacksonville Jaguars. One is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Right.
The Bills are currently the 7th seed.
Bills, to me, are going to be
They have to finish a game better than Buffalo because they, again, do not have the tiebreaker against them. But does anybody think the Bills are actually missing the playoffs? I don't.
The Bills have the Jets still and the Browns still on their schedule and the Bengals still on their schedule.
So here's the team you can really catch, the Chargers. I actually think even more than the Jags, because I think the Jags' schedule is easier than them. They do have the Raiders next week. I get it. You're going to be like, they're catching them. The final 5 games for the Chargers are... Philadelphia, Kansas City, Dallas, Houston, and Denver. that you could lose all five of those games. Hell, they'll probably only be favored in two of them.
Let's take a look.
You think they'll be favored at Dallas? They'll be favored at home versus Houston. Not favored at Denver, not favored at Kansas City, and will not be favored against Philadelphia even at home. So,
the Chargers, these are just
against the Raiders, obviously. But
Chargers look ahead. Obviously, as you said, Raiders, 9.5-point favorites. They currently, Eagles minus 1.5. I don't know if they'll actually, I doubt they'll end up being favorites in that game. That makes no sense. They have the Chiefs.
I should bet that now.
They have this is just a grid site. This is not like FanDuel doesn't even offer odds on all these far out, but at Kansas City, they project that they're a 4-point underdog.
Yeah.
They project they're a 2-point favorite at Dallas right now. They project they're a 4.5-point favorite against Houston and a week 18, a 1.5-point underdog at Denver. But that week 18 game is tricky. Do the Broncos have any shot at the one seed so they have to win? Are they the division locked up? All that. The Broncos might be starting Trevor Siemian against Justin Herbert in week 18, unfortunately. So that one we don't have the answer to for a while. As far as the Chiefs go, these are projected lines. We know the Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites at Dallas, projected to be a 7-point favorite against Houston. I don't know if they actually will be, but that's the projection. Projected to be a 4-point favorite against the Chargers, 11.5 at Tennessee, 4.5 in a rematch against the Broncos, and then 8.5 at Vegas in week 18.
So they're favored
every game the rest of the way,
which is not surprising. They were just favored against a team three games better than them in the standings.
Correct. Yeah, they're going to be a favorite in every game.
Yeah, but it's just that just goes back to I think the actual team to steal a spot from. And I guess pull up the Jaguars for this. I think the actual team to steal a spot from is the Chargers. I don't think it's actually the Jags.
The Jags,
Colts twice, I guess, is nice, but they also have the Titans and the Jets. The Titans twice and the Jets. I'm sorry.
They're projected. Jacksonville is projected, though, to be an underdog in three of the remaining games.
Yeah, Broncos and the Colts twice, I assume.
Yeah. Yep.
What do they have to get to, though, to make it? Is it 10-7?
Who?
Chiefs? 11-6.
Oh, no. I'm
the
saying,
Jags?
I'm saying what gets the seven spot? Is it 10-7?
I think 11. Yeah, I think I think
11
I
wins
think
you, gets you to the set. 11 I, wins has I, to get you in,
and you don't have to worry about tiebreakers.
I believe so. If you're the Jags, you might think you could still get there with 10, but not if the Chiefs get to 11. Right? Does that make like if the Chiefs and Jags are both 10, then yeah, the 7-seed gets it, but that'd be the Jags, not the Chiefs. Does that make like the Chiefs to me? The Chiefs cannot be the 7-seed with 10 wins. But the Jags could. Is that?
You're saying
sense.
In order for the Chiefs to make it, they have to be 11-6.
I believe so. There's scenarios where they don't, but you're asking the Jags to lose like three games here.
I'm going to give you the Broncos schedule just because the text line is convinced that the Broncos could lose enough for the Chiefs to actually get
there. There's a scenario. I mean, it's not likely.
I think it's extremely unlikely. They would have the Commanders this weekend where they've already said Jaden Daniels is almost cleared but will not play. Or is not expected to play on the 30th against the Broncos. So just know now, they're saying Jaden Daniels is close, but it'll be Marcus Mariota's ass on Sunday, November 30th. So that doesn't, then it's the Raiders. So now where am I four out of the final six? Well, then they're going to have to lose the final four, which is at home against Green Bay, at home against Jacksonville, and at home against the Chargers. I'm sorry, the Broncos have won the division.
Yeah. Oh, this but is for the division? Know. Oh, okay. I was going to say the Chiefs winning the division.
The AFC West is over, okay? AFC West is over. Denver Broncos, unfortunately, 2025 AFC West champions. The 9-plus year run is over. I hate to say it, but that ended last week. What are we doing?
Shout out to this person, though, because they have faith that it's still open.
That's fine.
I have faith as well that something could potentially happen as well.
Drew, you need an intervention, man.
I will say this. You need help. Professional help. That Bills-Bengals game is my Super Bowl for this season. I want Josh Allen to, I want Joe Burrow to beat him again. I want it badly.
I'll give you this. I hope Cincinnati actually does win that game and some other games.
I just hope they crush.
No, I hope so. I told you Cincinnati's going to miss the playoffs. I don't want them finishing, 4-13 or whatever. I don't want, I don't want Cincinnati getting a top 10 pick. I want Cincinnati to get to 8 or 9 wins and miss the playoffs and be picking 15th.
You know what?
Perfect. That's what I want.
You know what? They can go ahead and lose to Shador and the Browns on the last week of the season. If they beat Josh Allen, I don't care. I will take that win every single time.
In fairness, in losing seasons.
Oh my goodness.
In losing seasons, sometimes you have to take the win where you take it. Typically it goes divisional. Like if you could be the team to knock the Steelers or the Ravens out of the playoffs,
of course.
You get a little extra juice in that. But to your point, Drew has come on this show a lot and it said that
they're going to win out.
That Josh Allen can't hold a candle to Joe Burrow.
Did you hear what he said?
And then he's bad in those games.
Did you hear what he just said?
Oh, I know he said that.
There, if the Bengals,
there's no possibility.
Hey, hang on. No. Just as this person said, it's possible that the Chiefs could still tie the
Drew, you
the
have
division.
You have them winning out against at Baltimore, at Buffalo, home to Baltimore, at Miami, Arizona, Cleveland.
I've seen those defenses, and I would say there is absolutely a legit shot that they win
and
all three
I've
of those games.
And I've seen Cincinnati's defense.
True. I'm not. This is,
I legitimately think that they can win all of those games. The way the defense has been playing, by the way, the last few weeks, Joe Flacco has been losing them the games. As a matter of fact, the defense has been actually pretty good.
Joe Burrow is expected to play Thursday night against Baltimore,
but there's
no T. Higgins and no Trey Hendrickson, so it's always something for them.
T. slammed his head against the turf. That was a scary hit.
Yeah, that's why he's out. Yeah,
I'd be honest. I'm not saying that there's not
some sort of the Hooter uniform odds. Hey, same odds for them to miss the playoffs.
99%.
The Hooter odds are minus 20,000 at this point.
Yeah, it's whatever the FanDuel odds for the Bengals not to make the playoffs. I guess I can give you an exact number.
There is a legitimate possibility that if the Bengals win out and the Steelers lose one more game on their schedule outside of just the games to the Bengals, the Bengals have the tiebreaker against them, and they win the division at 9-8.
Cincinnati to miss the playoffs is minus... What was that, 10,000? So a $10 bet wins 10 cents, okay? They're missing the playoffs.
I will not be betting that.
I genuinely, if you made me put a percentage at it, would put a higher percentage that Alex Golds dates and marries Sydney Sweeney in the next 12 months.
You give me better odds? You're giving me better odds?
Alex could accidentally stumble on a flight to Montreal. In a bar and see Sydney Sweeney. And they hit it off. Cincinnati wins the remaining
I'll say this. The odds,
and enough people lose.
The odds on Cincinnati are better for Cincy, but not by much.
I think that take is crazy. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I will say this, that there is a chance. If they lose to Baltimore, it is official. The book is closed, officially. If they lose on Thanksgiving, then I will admit on the show, officially.
Right. Well, they'll be 3-9, I would hope so.
With nothing else, that the book is closed.
They'll be 3-9. What a bold decision.
Honestly, I'm still mad that you didn't stick with the Chiefs were going to go 5-5 and win out. You had it right in front of you.
I really did.
You had your moment right there.
Who do the Steelers play this weekend? Are they on a bye week? No, they play the Bills. Hang on a sec. If the Bengals beat the Ravens and the Steelers lose to the Bills, we're back.
Don't do this to yourself.
This is the thing. I can be disappointed, but the Bengals,
man, it'll make you be crazy.
I promise you, the Bengals could win every game and then lose to the Browns and miss out on the playoffs.
That's actually the dream scenario.
And my day is not ruined. So the idea of me holding out hope that the Bengals make the playoffs, sure, it'd be great.
I love this scenario. You guys went out until last week, and then your guy, Joe Burrow, against your other guy, Shedeur Sanders, and your guy, Sanders, ends the season for Cincy. That's also fun. That's also a fun scenario.
That would be tough. But no, people think that, again, maybe it's just the fact that we're in this business, that my fandom has just gone so far by the wayside that it doesn't affect me.
Text line says seven stages of grief is what's happening
the
here.
Pacers,
which stage is he in denial?
Still stuck in denial.
The Pacers losing game seven of the finals was tenfold more disappointing than the Bengals losing the Super Bowl.
Sure.
It wasn't even
close. I get that. Yeah.
Let's see. Based on that, denial is step one. Dude, you got to get to anger or bargaining or depression. You got to get to some of the other ones.
He did try to bargain at one point about the bet.
I don't get mad at my sports teams, though. If they lose, then they lose. Like, the Bengals lost the Super Bowl to the Rams, to eat with my wife and had a great night afterwards.
Maybe we're wrong. Maybe he's not on the denial. Maybe there's the upward turn stage marked by a period of calm and tentative sense of hope.
I'm always optimistic about my team.
That was actually after the Steelers win. When they beat the Steelers, that's when he was in the upward turn. and then he's come crashing back down.
But, I'll be honest. Yeah. I felt like I got closer to the depression part than he did. We were in the Kareem Hunt fumbled that football.
And I started telling myself,
you know, third place schedule, top 20 pick. This will really boost the old rebuild. This will help that roster turn.
I was already thinking, man, Monday's show is going to be
to get a mock draft on Sunday night. I could have been.
Oh, you were down bad. You would have been down
bad. Yeah.
You would have been down bad.
Hell yeah, it could have been.
Someone says, tell Drew the Bengals are done forever.
I don't know about forever. Hey,
forever's a little short.
I mean, I told you, he's Joe Burrow, Dan Marino. So
Zach Taylor's definitely going to
be a Hall of Famer, but never going to win anything.
Yep.
They need to fire their GM before they fire anybody else. Please,
this is also why I want Zach. I want your Bengals. Actually, you're right. I want them to win three or four
you
more.
Want Zach Taylor to keep his
Zach
job.
Taylor keeps his job with an 8-win season, probably.
Yeah.
Bengals think they're not that far away. They talk themselves into it still. They draft 15th. Maybe they'll sign that draft pick on time. I don't know. We can do this all
or
over
draft
again.
Draft a better player.
That too. That too.
He's not been.
Ja'Marr Chase still great. Has more tackles than Ja'Marr Stewart does.
Oh no.
Is Ja'Marr Chase is back. He didn't spit on anybody this weekend, did he?
Correct.
Okay.
In fairness to Ja'Marr, he has been hurt throughout the season, which obviously also is not great. And the three lowest ranked Pro Football Focus rookies have all been Bengals players, their first, second, and third round picks.
Jeez. So,
man, you know what? Duke it is good.
It's almost not even as much Zach Taylor anymore. It's the GM.
I was genuinely worried
about anybody else.
That game felt like a wash away. Boy, it feels good to have a victory Monday. I hope they win again on Thursday. Then we get to come back on Monday in a week.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 7-5 with 10 days going into a Texans game at home. Momentum would start feeling like it's churning a little bit.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
Feels like you're getting somewhere a little bit.
That's the dream.
I want to buy back in.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about the Cowboys, though, I'll be honest. With Trey Smith being out, that defensive front's been playing really, really well. A little nervous about that one. I will say, as we said, 6-1 down the stretch, if you're going to lose one, the NFC opponent is the one to lose. I hope that's not the case, but that would be the one where you could still lose and still be quote unquote in position.
Yeah.
Now you'd have to win out. You had no wiggle room the rest of the way. But Thanksgiving is going to be a different feeling for all. We haven't had one of these since they played the Broncos on Thanksgiving many, many years ago.
Thanksgiving night, right?
It was a night game at Arrowhead.
Sunday night football game on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Is that the last time they played on Thanksgiving?
Yes. Yep.
That's why they've always tried to make Christmas and Thanksgiving. The time of the rumor at that time is that Clark Hunt has always wanted a full-time slot for the Chiefs. I think you realize that Cowboys.
You guys have a good Thanksgiving.
You too.
As well. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Be safe if you're traveling today. We're back at it as a full show on Monday. Hopefully talking about a 7-5 football
but
team.
But back tomorrow.
Drew is here tomorrow, Wednesday. Obviously, everybody's off Thursday. The game, though, you can hear here on the station, 96.5 The Fan. And then Friday's a different schedule. A 3-hour show. So Friday, it'll be a show from 7 to 11.
No, 8 to 11, 11 to 2.
8 to 11, 11. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
That's hard.
Yeah. Drew, you're hosting with who tomorrow?
Logan is in tomorrow and on Wednesday.
Okay.
And then it is Mac and I from 8 to 11 on Friday.
Boom. Nice. There we go. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.